You know, when you start reading the Word through the eyes of the cross, so many things change. I've been taught over my years, I was taught in a very heavy-handed way, and I wasn't being taught through the eyes of the cross. I was being taught through the eyes of what we have determined the cross is. There's a huge difference in that. And as you read the Word with an understanding of how deep God loves you and accepts you and values you, it will change your life. And this week, I read this story a million times, and I just got more out of it. So let's look at it. Maybe. There it is. So one Sabbath day, as Jesus was teaching in a synagogue, he saw a woman who had been crippled by an evil spirit. She had been bent double. Sugupto, if you want to pronounce it, is how it's pronounced. Always in the Greek, by the way, the Y is a U, just so that'll mess you up, so people think you're really smart. Sugupto, it was said twice, so she was bent over for 18 years and was unable to stand up straight. And when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Dear woman, you are healed of your sickness." And then he touched her, and instantly she could stand straight, and how she praised God. That word sukupto, I want you to understand what it means. It means to bend completely forward. It is not a curvature of the spine where, as some get older, I know Judson Cornwall, my mentor, it hurt my feelings when I went to see him for his last time about a couple of weeks before he died. I flew to Arizona to see him, and he was in his room, and his wife said he'd be coming out, and I hadn't seen him in a while, and when I saw him, the curvature of his spine was so bad, it just hurt my heart. So that's not what this is talking about. In fact, if you'll look at this very clearly, it says it's caused by an evil spirit. There's not a doctor can fix this. I want you to hear me. There's not a doctor that can fix this. Sometimes it's almost better. Our belief system kind of kicks into gear when we know the doctor can't fix it. Somebody's proclaimed to have cancer. All of a sudden, we're really praying because we really know the doctor can't fix it. Do you get what I'm saying? This is something the doctor couldn't fix. This is something that happened for 18 years. And this woman was bent over like this for 18 years. Do you understand that? I want you to marinate on that for a second. That's the only thing she ever saw was the ground. She was dirt conscious. All she saw was stuff around her. Do you see it? And as she just kept proceeding in life, this is all she saw. She could never look up. All she saw was the ground. All she saw was the stuff on the ground. In fact, that word literally means garbage, trash, dirt, dust, clouds. So for 18 years, she was powerless to set herself free. We have got to get out of this thing that we can set ourselves free. We can't do it. Doctors couldn't do it. Her condition was obvious to all, and I'm sure she was judged for it. How many times she was mocked for it? Somebody screaming, "Come on, old lady, stand up." And she the word doesn't say how old she was, but she had had this for 18 years, so at least 18 years ago when it started, she wasn't that old. But for 18 years, she was bent over like that. Which is interesting, too. This story was only told in Luke, because you know there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Gospels. But Luke was the only one that shared this story, and I find it interesting because Luke was a doctor. But what I want you to see is there was 18 years she saw this dirt and debris all the time, everywhere. She was dirt conscious. She was constantly bent over, dirt conscious, until Jesus called her name and she walked toward the voice because she couldn't see, and all of a sudden she saw his feet. And then, what did he tell her? "You're healed, baby." And she stood up and could see. Here's what I want you to see very clearly today. I want you to understand, yes, there is Satan. And yes, he's got this thing. The only power he has is accusation. I want to say it again. The only power the enemy has is accusation. That's his name, Hasatan. It literally means accuser. That's why Jesus said, and I think those guys got it more than we do. When Jesus said, I'm going to send you a comforter, an advocate, which is basically your defense attorney. You have the prosecutor that is accusing you. Do you hear me? You have the prosecutor that's accusing you. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit who's going to reside in you, and he's going to defend you against the accusation by constantly reminding you of what Christ did on the cross for you. Dust, dirt is the devil's food. Let's go all the way back to Genesis. We all know this story. That sorry woman Eve made man mess up, didn't she? Well, here's what I love. This is typical mankind right here. This is exactly how we are. God asked, they ate, and then they knew they were naked after they ate, so they put on figs and leaves and stuff, and God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? Well, the man said, well, that woman you gave me, that just happened to be out of his rib, that woman you gave me, she gave me the tree, and she gave me the fruit from the tree, and I ate it. Well, then the Lord said to the woman, what is this you've done? And the woman said, well, the devil made me do it. The serpent deceived me, and I ate. And the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust, the word's afar, you will eat, akal, all the days of your life. I want to tell you what those two words mean because it's pretty interesting. As soon as I turn the page, here it is. Afar means dirt, earth, ground, trash, dust, ashes, debris. It's everything that's on the ground. And that word akal, that means eat, it literally means to devour, to feed on, to consume. Not only is dirt the devil's food, it also represents death. Look, as we move on in this same scripture, we go to verse 17, I believe it is. It says, then to Adam, God said, because you've listened to the voice of your wife, you like that, guys? Because you've listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, which, by the way, God never commanded Eve not to eat from that tree. God commanded Adam, right? And obviously Adam told Eve, and obviously Eve was a good wife and disobeyed him. You like that? She didn't like that. So, because you've listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it, cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are afar, and to afar you shall return. Your dirt, and to dirt you'll return. This literally speaks of death. What I want you to see and understand here is the enemy wants you to crawl on your belly and eat the dust just like he does. He wants you to do that. And here's how we do that. Again, you go back to the whole thought pattern. It's an evil spirit. Now understand what I said to you. The only thing that he's got concerning you is accusation. That is all, the only gun, if you will, the only weapon that he has against you is accusation. So what does he do? He constantly accuses you. Well, no, because one time, no, it's an accusation because God says it very clearly. What Christ did on the cross for you is tetelestai, totally, completely finished. So therefore, if it's completely and totally finished, every provision we have access to, it's what Dwayne said. In fact, you could take it a little bit farther because it has to do with what's happening. The reason that elder son never killed his own fatted calf, even though he had access to it, is because he was too busy being concerned about what his brother had. Why? Because he was dirt conscious too. We're looking at the ground. Here's what happens. We're dirt conscious instead of Jesus conscious. I've said this in a billion other ways. When we become sin conscious instead of Jesus conscious, when we become guilt conscious instead of Jesus conscious, self-hatred instead of Jesus conscious, here we are, right back to the same principle. dirt conscious. We become dirt conscious, and so we're walking around and we're seeing the debris. So we're walking around, and what happens is the enemy will constantly be talking to us, constantly tell us how bad we are, especially when we're looking at the dirt, because that's what we're seeing. So we see a cigarette butt, and we go, oh, my God, you know, I really need to quit smoking. Yeah, you know what? I can't believe you started smoking. Although, before you started smoking, he said, well, why don't you go ahead and start smoking? You get what I'm saying? He's an accuser. He's the one that tells you. He constantly tells you to do something. Then when you do it, he says, God, you're so cruddy. Why did you do that? That's all he's got. So you walk around and you see a beer bottle. Oh, man, I need to work on that. And then you see some porno laying. Oh, I need to work on that. And then you see a newspaper article of somebody that you don't like that's the president. And you go, oh, God, I'm sorry. I need to work. So we constantly stay dirt conscious, and we don't have the ability to stand up and become Jesus conscious. It is so true. We live in a world, but the Bible says very clearly we're not of the world. I need my ear to start working. I need to Velcro this on my ear or something. There. I'm going to blame my ear. You know, your ears keep growing until you're dead. Did you know that? That's why, you know, if you live to be like 120, you're going to look like Dumbo. It's true, man. It is. So, to eat dirt is to feed on our failure and our lack. It's constantly feeling like we have to clean up the mess. Why? Because all we're doing is looking at the mess. Don't you see that as we have walked through life and people have taught the law and talked the law and taught the law, telling us how bad we are and the things that we need to change, all we are doing is focusing on the law. The scripture is very clear. 115 or 1556 of Corinthians, come on, we all know it, or you should know it by now. The law gives sin its power. So we keep talking about the things that have to change, and then we see this brochure of a seminar where that's going to fix me seminar, and like, oh man, that didn't work for me either. And we just keep walking over. For 18 years, this woman was bent over walking. And isn't it amazing that she didn't have to have any kind of WD-40 or anything to stand straight up? There is no magic pill to being whole in Jesus other than believing in Jesus. It's like, people, man, you know, I've been praying. You don't get from God what you ask for. You get from God what you believe. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's all, the provision is there. And that's not to dump God on, help me with my belief. That's what my favorite story is, where Jesus said that. Help me with my unbelief. And Jesus helped him by healing him. My best prayer has ever been, God, I need help. I'm done with trying to figure this. And so back to being where we normally are. We're doing this. We're walking. We're seeing the dirt, and it's just kicking up, and it's getting in our lungs, and it's getting in our body, and it's just nasty and nothing. I can't do anything about it. People are mocking me and all this stuff. And then I see an old utility bill that I didn't pay, and I was, no, I got to pay that. There's actually going to get happy here in a minute, just so you know. We might not be physically hunched over, but all of us see is dirt in everyday life. Here's what happens. If all we see is dirt, then everyday life does become a struggle, because all we're doing is looking at our bills. All we're doing is looking at our failures. All we're doing is looking at that. But by the way, though, incorporated in that watching the dirt is we start judging others very harshly. Because we do. It also affects the way we see others. That's what it says here. So I wrote this, so I guess it's good. It also affects the way we see others and seeing others' faults all the time. So we point out their faults and we add up their past failures. And what happens, dirt consciousness makes our relationships, all of them, empty of love and joy and peace. Well, see, I don't want to be bent over. I don't want you to be bent over anymore either. So I've got good news for you, and it's called the gospel. Because the gospel is good news. Anybody that tells you that this, you know, whether they use the, oh, there's a social gospel. No, there's not. There's one gospel, and it's called the good news of Jesus and what he did on the cross. Period. End of story. So nothing else is a gospel. So I'm going to keep plowing here. Dirt consciousness is an inward position, and if we stay there, We become Satan's food and he consumes us. He is searching the earth looking for dirt conscious people. Look at this. Be sober, spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, but resist him firm in your faith. Now, when we see that in the English language. When you break that down in the Greek, and when I'm fixing to show you is where I broke it down in the Greek, it goes back to what I was talking about in the first. The only power he has is accusation. Now, watch what it says. Be calm and collected in your spirit and pay close attention to your life. Your prosecutor, the one who slanders and falsely accuses you, is roaring like a lion, looking for every opportunity to make accusations against you. He is devising ways to challenge, to badger, and to abuse you, to swallow up and destroy you. But confront him head on, immovable, unyielding, and steadfast in your adamant belief in Jesus Christ, his redemptive work on the cross, and his resurrection power and authority. That's the bullets that you use. So when he comes into you, and oh, he can even quote the Bible to you. He did it to Jesus. He quoted the Bible to you. He can quote the Bible to you. You just got to quote it right back at him. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am declared righteous because Jesus said so. Jesus died on the cross, took all my sins. He put me on the cross so God sees me on the cross. And then when God looks at Jesus, he now sees me. You get it. He took everything and nailed it to the cross. He put everything on the cross. All sin, all everything of all time, so that when God views the cross, he sees me, and when he views me, he sees Jesus. Oh, that doesn't, you can't believe that, can you? It's true. Man, it is so true. It is so true. So let's stay on point here. When just a second, I gotta fix this. Oh, I just broke it. Oh, well, it's now broken, and we'll just see how well it works. I can't imagine poor Jesus never had a microphone. Seriously. Here's what my next point is this. There is a remedy, and the remedy, his name is Jesus. And the only way out is up. And give me this. Give me a handheld. So I just broke this. Sorry. I don't like handhelds because I can't use my hands. I don't even know how to use this one. Punch a button.
Breaker.
Okay. I'll put it right there. Maybe that'll. Everybody hear me all right? Okay, good. I have to be hands-free. Glad I have a pocket today. Yeah, well, no, I'm going to have to. I might have to again just to make my point. That would be my drop mic point, right? So now watch this. Instead of looking down at failures, look up to Jesus who has delivered us from every single defeat. When we look up to Jesus, we can't see the dirt anymore. Do you get it? When you look up to Jesus, you don't see the dirt anymore. Turn your eyes on Jesus. We know the song. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. It's so true. It's so true. So when we look up to him, we don't see dirt anymore. We only see him. Look at this scripture. You should have regular Hebrews as opposed to my. Yes. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. And we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Love that word perfect, because we, you know, where the Bible says, be perfect as God is perfect, perfect, perfect. It literally means maturing, but the word is from the root word that is the root word of tetelestai, which means it's finished. When it says he initiates and perfects your faith, you could really put there and finishes your faith. Your faith is complete in him. Do you get it? Everything is about Jesus. Nothing is about me. It's in all avenues of life. And when you finally, and I finally get to the point to where I know that and believe that, your life will totally and completely change. My faith is his faith because he's the one that took care of it. My belief is his belief. He is finishing my faith. He's the one who champions it. In the other versions that a lot of y'all know, it's the author and finisher of our faith. So watch this. So we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy that's awaiting him, he endured the cross, he disregarded its shame, and now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. And here it is broken down. And let's strive hard to conquer with unwavering stamina and staying power the appointed challenge that lies before us. Ladies and gentlemen, this is telling us that life does have challenges. But I want to tell you something. Jesus said, I came to give you life, and life abundant, super abundant is what that word means. So yes, life is going to have challenges, but how much better is it to do the challenges by not looking at the challenges, but looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, our belief system, our pistis is what that word is. So let's turn our eyes away from the negative and firmly focus on Jesus, the author, the leader, the one in charge, and the one who completes and finishes our faith. That faith is our assurance that he accomplished what he set out to do, redeem mankind. And it was for that joy, pleasure, and delight of his prearranged destiny that he refused to retreat or escape and calmly endured the cross, thinking little or nothing of the humiliation, the embarrassment, or the scandal. He then sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He forsook the shame. Everything else he took on, but he forsook it. That whole embarrassment thing, that whole thing. So, we are not dirt anymore. The Bible is very clear on this. We're not dirt anymore. But wait, he says we're going to turn to dirt. Yeah, your body's going to turn to dirt. Of course it is. You know, like my body's going to be a bigger pile of dirt than other people's bodies. And, you know, I'm over it. I'm over it. Well, let's look at the word. I love the word. And Christ lives within you. Stop. Christ lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. The Holy Spirit, there's the Godhead. Theos is the Greek word for it. When it says God, most of the time in Greek, it'll be, which means Father God, Father Son, Father Holy Spirit. Jesus resides within us. If Jesus resides within us, then it kind of takes care of that natural body. But watch how this works. And Christ lives within you, so even though your body will die because of sin, isn't that funny? Because your body's going to die not because of your sin, but because of Adam's sin. The Bible's real clear on that. God told him, man, because of that, you're going to die. And up to that point, had Adam not messed up, man would never have died. So it's because, you get what I'm saying? So here's what's so cool. We can just blame Adam. That is greatness, and it's right. He makes me so mad. You know, I can't believe that he did that. I was not responsible for all this sin that's in this earth. But by the same token, the second Adam, which the Bible talks about, is called Jesus. And the Bible says that he came so that we can become righteous. So by the same powerful understanding that it was Adam's fault, not mine, it's Jesus' fault, not mine, that I'm righteous. Are you grabbing that, please? He is my righteousness. He is total righteousness. We love the scripture, seek him first and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Everything will fall, your whole life falls into place when you seek him and you seek who he is and what he did for you, and you start understanding it, and that's when love starts happening. And let me tell you something, as long as we keep our head down and buried, and it's that evil spirit that has done it, ain't a doctor going to heal you of it. There is no psychologist, psychiatrist, or psycho anything that can help you with this, ladies and gentlemen. It's all about Jesus. Jesus can take care of your heart, can take care of your life, and he will straighten you, he will straighten you up so that you can walk away healed and whole. And I want to make that extremely clear, because I want you to hear me very clearly. This church believes that. This church believes that Jesus heals. This church doesn't believe you have to attach anything to it. This church believes that he is who he says he is. This church believes it. This church walks in it, and this church is going to continue to walk in it. And I say that because there's a lot out there that do not, and I'm not trying to be Jesus here, but let me tell you something. As I've been reading the Word lately, holy smoke in a bucket, he smashes people who just try to twist things when he does them. I'll get there in a second. That's going to be my final point. But let me finish this side. But that's my passion today, I think. I just want you to, here's what I want you to hear. You're safe here. You're safe understanding God's going to heal you. You're safe understanding that you can't get it together, but he can. You hear what I'm saying? You need to understand that. You know, you come down here and you're going to be prayed for healing. You come up to me and you say, man, you know, and I look at you and I say, well, have you taken care of all your sins before I pray for you? And if you go, oh, yeah, well, then I'm going to go, oh, just go. But if you walk down and go, no, I'm a mess, holy smoke, you can be healed. You can be healed when you're a mess. Why? Because you recognize you're a mess. I'm telling you, man, when you get people who think they are more than you, run away from them. When you get around people who think that they know more than you about Jesus and that you've got to somehow line up with something to get his blessing, stop it. When they tell you you got to send them a check so that you can get money from God, stop it. When they tell you to come to their get out of debt seminar and want you to pay for it with a credit card, stop it. Sad but true. Where am I at? Did I already read yet? Let me finish this, sorry. And Christ lives within you, so even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. You have been made right with God. You have not made God right with you. Hear me. You've been made right with God. Why? Because of him, not you. You can't do it. You can't. I don't care what the angle you try to come at, you can't do it. There's something in us that wants to. You can't do it. And when you recognize you can't do it, he does it. That's what belief is. Belief is believing that you are a total piece of dirt, but he is a total perfect being that loves you so much he died for you. That really is the truth. And until we get to the point that we recognize how bad we are, we'll never get to the point to where we know how good he is. It really is. I've told you the last couple weeks because it's been burning in my heart. Half the gospel is how bad we are. Not for me to hammer you with it, but for me to help you understand. Until you recognize you need a Savior, you won't be saved. But when you recognize, help, God, oh, help, holy smoke, he's there. Boom. Holy smoke, that probably fits. I said that. Wait, back up. I didn't finish. See, what you're trying to run too fast. Trying to get, you got an appointment to eat somewhere or something? Verse 11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Do you get this? You need to, this is one scripture you need to memorize, just that part. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. I just look at the Holy Spirit kind of like Jesus' brother. And he's not, and you know, but he is part of the Godhead. But I just feel like Jesus did his thing, and then here came the Holy Spirit and said, dude, get up.
Get up, come on, you've been asleep 3 days, get up.
That same spirit lives in you. Woo-hoo. Now watch this next part. And just as God raised Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your physical body. Hear me. He will give life to your physical body by this same spirit that's living within you. So when the accuser, Hasatan, when he starts accusing you that, well, you know what, you've smoked for 25 years, you're going to get cancer and die, the Holy Spirit comes up and says, whoa, baby, stop right there. It ain't true. It ain't true, because he's going to quicken your mortal body when you start believing that Jesus, why in the world would Jesus die on a cross with any kind of expectations for mankind? He couldn't have done it. He couldn't have done it. Okay. So, when this is the good news of the gospel right here. When we believe it, look up and see that your righteousness, your acceptance, and your value is all from him. And when you do and you start receiving and believing the depth of the love that he has for you, I'm telling you, it will set you free. I say that every week from all kinds of 58 different angles, trying to get people to understand that. Until we can receive, you will never love other people until you can receive that love of him to you. It just won't happen. We can fake it, but you can't fake a child's love. Where was I? Oh, I was at this office this week, and Sylvia here. Sylvia's a little kid. Her, is it a niece or something? And it was a girl. Niece, okay. Anyway, she was there, and she saw me, just walked straight to me, put her hands out, and then she started rubbing my belly. And they were shocked because they say she doesn't like people and stuff. And I said, this is a real testimony. See, because as we grow older and we get to be adults, we learn to fake stuff. Kids don't fake nothing. Kids just don't do it. When we were in California, I had a guy come to our church, and he was deformed from birth, and he's about this tall because he had little legs and little arms, and everybody's uncomfortable. But Jake was just, man, he could have been 2 years old. Walked straight up to him. The guy's name was Jeff. I'll never forget. Walks up to him and goes, "Where's your arms and legs?" And Jeff just shared it with him and stuff, and he walked away. And I asked Jeff, I said, "Does that bother you?" He goes, "No." He said, "It's you adults, because you're just all acting all uncomfortable around me." I was on a plane with Dave Reaver. I don't know if y'all are familiar who Dave Reaver is, who got blown up in Vietnam. And we were walking in the airport, and people were just staring at him. And this had been years and years and years after it happened. And I looked at Dave. I said, "Do you ever get used to that?" He said, "Nope." Listen, man, when a child comes up to me and loves me, I know they see the purity of who I am. I've been in grocery stores or airplanes or whatever, where kids want to come to me. You know, of course, their parents probably think I'm a pervert or whatever. I don't care. The truth is, it's just proof to me that Jesus is in me, because children know who Jesus is. That's why a black kid and a white kid and a Mexican kid and a Japanese kid can all play together while the parents decide who gets to. Man, that's why Jesus said, "Come to me as kids. Come to me as little children. You'll inherit the kingdom of God." Rather than telling people to shut that baby up, you better be careful. Okay, I guess I'm done with that one. Here's my conclusion, and I'll leave you alone. There will always be those who religiously believe that you should keep your head down. Don't do it. Now, I said religiously believe because that's with the church, but just before we get to the church, let's just talk about friends, family, Facebook, and everything else. You cannot live your life on the opinion of others, which I'm telling you right now, opinion is no longer opinion in this country. It's judgment. Well, my opinion is, no, your judgment is. You know, this thing that happened yesterday and all this stuff, and everybody's deciding who's what. Man, just the truth of Jesus just flies over people's heads, because there are going to be people who stand up righteously. Well, righteous indignation. No, it's not. It's arrogance. And it's not your opinion. It's judgment. So I say that to say there's always going to be people like that. Listen, and this is might hurt your feelings. I don't care if it's your spouse. I don't care if it's your boss at work or the way that you treat others if you are the boss. I don't care what it is. Other people's opinions concerning us do not matter, and it will not stop. Watch this. It will not stop God from doing what he will do in us. It will never stop God from doing what he can do in us, because it's when we believe in Jesus, come hell or high water, we're gonna see stuff accomplished because we believe in him. Do you hear what I'm saying? So all this hanging our head down and we will never stand completely up until we can stand completely up in the face of the enemy, which sometimes people are the only people he can use. Now, I said all that to read the rest of this scripture. By the way, Jesus just healed her. She's praising God, and here's what happened. But the leader in charge of the synagogue, the pastor of the church, was indignant that Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath. And then he starts preaching. There are 6 days of the week for working, he said to the crowd. Come on those days to be healed, not on the Sabbath. Do you see how warped this is? Do you know I can tell you dozens of stories where this has happened in some kind of way in church? I've shared the story when I was a child. When I was a child, I was 15, 16, I was driving, so I must have been 16 years old. Had to go to youth church. I had to go to youth because my mother made me go to church, and I should make her. My mother made me go to church, and so I was in the youth, and I would sit in the corner. Well, one night, man, Jesus touched my heart. And I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I was speaking in tongues. And listen, just so you know how real it is, that's not Steve Van Zandt. It had to be in God, because I ain't faking nothing. That's just who I am as a person. Anyway, so this thing, the Holy Spirit, he just went crazy that night. And so I was, of course, the kids in the youth group, there's probably 20 of them, they were all excited for me, man. They're all, man, no. They had never given me two days worth of time. Because I was the black sheep of the world at that time. All family, every avenue of my life. So they invite me to go to eat pizza with them. Dude, first time ever. And I'm like, whoa. Now, be sure you don't cuss. And, you know, I'm going in on my brain. So I said, okay, so I'll meet y'all there. So they all head to the pizza place. And I get in my car and I head to the pizza place. And they're all standing outside, kind of. I was kind of the last one there. And I get out, and I put my cigarette out. And I walked up to a group that says, immediately, you didn't get the Holy Spirit, dude. You're smoking. Yeah, but at the time, I was confused. That's why I'm telling you very clearly, there will be no confusion here. I was confused because you're telling me that wasn't real. I'm saying that's real. But what happened? It was peer pressure, call it what you will. I was concerned more about what they were saying stuff. I obviously never got reconnected in that group. And that was by both choices, by the way, not just mine. It was mine. And had they even reached out, I probably wouldn't have, because I was a young kid. And I'm like, no, you hurt me once, you ain't hurt me again, that type of thing. Do you see it? But the leader in charge of the synagogue was indignant that Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath. There are 6 days of the week for working, he said. Come on those days to be healed. Really? Really? So I just got healed, but it doesn't count? Because of your opinion? Because Jesus broke the law? Let me tell you something. Jesus broke the law to heal her. It didn't concern him. And I'm telling you right now, it doesn't concern me. There is no list I'm going to give you of how you're going to walk in Jesus. There's no list other than I'll give you one list, and it'll be in a big cue card, and it'll say believe. And as silly and simple as that sounds, it's the truth. And the only way you're going to believe is when you start reading the Word and you read the Word through the cross. I'm telling you, man, what's so fun for me is reading the Word used to be such a drudgery for me. Why? Because I was told to read the word. Any kind of problem I had, just read the word, brother. Read the word, brother. Pray, brother. Well, number one, I didn't know how to pray like they prayed because they prayed weird.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thou...
You know, I didn't have a good King James Version vernacular. I just didn't have it. But listen, man. When I started understanding and started receiving this stupid love, the word says God knows me better than I know myself. That's pretty scary because I know me and it doesn't look good at all. Yet says he loves me more than anybody else could. Those two things don't compute in my little pea brain that's probably only got about 3 good cells in there because of my drug abuse when I was a child. But the Lord replied, "You hypocrites." Hypocrite is the Greek word that means, it's for those people who are actors, I've told you this, that has put the fake mask on. You've probably seen it. If you saw Tombstone, you've seen it. That's what it means. It means being someone that you're not. It's what hypocrites. If you'll really study the word, you're going to see who uses the word hypocrite more than anybody else. Jesus. He says, "You hypocrites, each of you works on the Sabbath day. Don't you untie your ox or your donkey from its stall on the Sabbath and lead it out for water?" Well, of course we do, dude, because otherwise it will be, might die of thirst. So that justifies? This dear woman, a daughter of Abraham, has been held in bondage by Satan for 18 years. Isn't it right that she be released even on the Sabbath? Have we really reached the point that we can't allow Jesus to be who he says he is, that he says he does love all people, that he does want to heal all people, that his provision is for all people? Have we reached the point to where we're jealous or angry because he helps somebody because we don't like them? Is that where we have come? If that is the case, I'm proclaiming to you right now, right here, it ain't happening here, not while this kid's here. And I know y'all are all on the same page. I know I'm preaching to the choir. But sometimes the choir needs to hear a good song every once in a while. All right? That was fresh. This dear woman. Here's how I love Jesus too. This dear woman, a daughter of Abraham. He said that. It would be like us saying, and I'm not picking on any denomination, or you can fill it in. This woman, a good Presbyterian, a good Assembly of God, a good Baptist, a good whatever, he was bringing home the point. Do you get it? This woman, a daughter of Abraham, who you're always saying, we're Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has been held in bondage by Satan for 18 years. Isn't it right that she be released? Even on the day that your law says no? Why do you think the Bible says where sin abounds, grace much more abounds? Why do you think the word says that? It's because it's true. And when we determine by whatever law that we have created that you can't do this, doesn't she have a right, Jesus is asking? Here's what I love, verse 17. This shamed his enemies, but all the people rejoiced at the wonderful things he did. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? Here's what's another running theme as you read through the Gospels, is the people were amazed at the authority that Jesus spoke. They didn't say decibel level. They didn't say deep teaching. They said his authority. His authority was who he is. His authority was knowing where he was going, and his humanness was so strong in him that when he prayed, he said, God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. But nevertheless, what you want me to do, I'll do. What you want, what that literally means in the Greek, what you want is what I want. How crazy is that? Okay, let me finish my little points here. And I am done. She had known nothing but misery, defeat, and frustration for 18 years. And she was set completely free in one moment of time. And the church leaders were more concerned with the breaking of their law than were thrilled that she was healed. No. Not acceptable. Not acceptable. And I want to say that especially because I felt like when I was praying over the service, I feel like some of you are here that have been in other situations where maybe you have a similar situation where I shared you when I was a kid in the youth thing, whatever, where some kind of church thing has hurt you and did something to you concerning church or what. I'm here to proclaim to you, listen very carefully, very clearly. No, 100 times no, will we ever get there. We're going to always talk about Jesus. We're going to always talk about the power of Jesus. We're going to talk about the love of Jesus. We're going to talk about your righteousness in Jesus. We're going to talk about you being set free because of Him. We're going to talk about your healing that happens in Him because of what He did on the cross. We're going to talk about the communion. We're not going to examine ourselves like people think that means in Corinthians, where we're supposed to examine ourselves to make sure we're worthy to take communion. It means we're to examine our belief system is what that literally means, so that we are on the same page that when He died, every chunk of flesh that came out of His back. And buddy, let me tell you something, it's more brutal than we've ever seen. You watch The Passion of the Christ and people go, I can't watch it. Well, then you don't see it because it was more brutal than that. They spit in His face. They cursed Him. They told Him to do stuff that I would have done if I'd have been Him, which is why I wasn't Him. They said all these things. They ripped chunks of skin out of His back. He was half dead by almost the time He got to go to the cross. He carried His own cross till He couldn't carry it no more. They hung Him, put nails all in Him. He, for 3 hours, took every sin of mankind on His body. At one point, He said, my God, which is not Abba. He always called God Abba. In this particular case, He called Him Eli, Eli, Laba Sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? Because even God couldn't handle the stench of me. And then at the end He goes, tetelestai. And the Bible says He gave up His spirit.
It's all about Him.
It's all about Him, not about me. But because I believe that He did that for me, because I believe that he every chunk of flesh was given for my physical, as we talked about earlier, mortal healing. He says it very clearly, by His stripes, which is where the chunks were coming out, by His stripes we are healed. And the blood is for our forgiveness of sins that are far as the east is from the west. We are totally, completely forgiven of everything we've ever done. Why? Because it was all in 3 hours' time of brutalness dumped on the body of Jesus. So when God looked at the cross, He saw me and you. But now when He looks at me, He sees Jesus. But I don't act like Jesus. That's not what He's looking at. He's not looking that way. That's just not Him. Stand with me. Here's what I want. This is 2 weeks in a row. If you came in today like this, you can walk out like this. Pick your poison. What I mean by that is, what have you been self-afflicting yourself about? What has other people been afflicting you about? What has kept your head into the problems and situations? Now you recognize that Jesus is who He says He is, that He will even break the law. But wait, Steve, the Bible says that Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Yeah, that's in Matthew chapter four, I believe. Probably other Gospels too, but that's where I'm hanging right now. He said that, and he made it very clear. I didn't come to abolish, I came to fulfill it. And then immediately goes into, you've heard it said in Deuteronomy 20:15, that you're not supposed to kill your brother. I'm telling you, if you are angry with him, you're in serious trouble. So he says, I didn't come to abolish but fulfill it. Then he made the law twice as hard. Why? Because the law was made so that we could see how ugly we are, so that we could turn to him and go, oh my God, you're right, I'm wrong. I like that. You really love me that much. Isn't that amazing? What's your first name? Beverly. Been a long road for you, Beverly, and I understand that. And I'm just talking to you if I can, just because I'm hearing him in my heart concerning you. Been a long road, long, dusty road. But just in like in the last 6-8 months, you've started to stand up, and he's wanting you to see him how awesome and proud. And he is proud. He's proud in a good way. He's proud of you and what's accomplishing in you. And until you quit breathing, you're not done, so quit it. And those family members you're concerned about, stop. Don't carry that load. He says, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden. And by the way, he was teaching the crowd concerning the law, so he's saying those who are bound with all the old stuff, give that to me, and I'll give you my yoke, because mine's easy and light. And it is. So you don't have to carry it no more. Rest in him. There's power in resting, ladies and gentlemen. There's so much power in resting. And this little lady, you've been on my heart all today, and I know it's going to freak you out. I don't know that there's an apology necessary from things, but God knows that there hasn't been an apology given. But he wants you to know he's there. He's been there this whole time. And he accepts your apology, though you didn't need one. He just loves you, girlfriend, right where you're at. And you need to start honestly believing that, because sometimes what happens is we'll stand up for a while, and then we're so used to being in the dirt. Mm-hmm. All that stuff doesn't matter anymore. You get it? Okay. If you were here, if you came in this service bent over and you're ready to stand up at least for a prayer time, come on down here. We just want to pray over you. Come on. I don't think God put stuff on my heart. We all have our situations like that. I walked like that for years and years and years, and didn't even realize I was walking like that, because on occasion I would read the Bible, but I would read the Bible through my bent over instead of through my looking up. Does that make sense? Anybody else? Come on. We're just going to pray, not going to pour no water on you. I don't have any cyanide and Kool-Aid or nothing like that. I just have a firm belief. I really do. I finally have a firm belief in Jesus, who he says he is, even though it makes totally no sense to me whatsoever, because I don't have it in my human capacity to love like he loves. I don't have it in my human capacity. I'm not sure I could break a finger for any of you. And he died. He wasn't just crippled, he died so that we can be completely and totally free when we believe. For God so abundantly over the top loved the world that he gave his son, that whoever believes, period, end of story. And then he goes on to say right after that, next verse, we know it. And he didn't come into the world to judge the world. He came into the world so they could be saved. Until we recognize we need a Savior, we'll never be saved. If we don't think we're drowning, we're just going to keep treading water. I'm telling you, let him save you, pull you from that water, and start walking in real life, abundant life. Will he fix everything? Of course not in your natural thought process, but it's not the point, is it? I think the most important thing to me in life is somebody that loves me without conditions, without expectations, without telling me how to, what to, or when to. People say, well, that's rebellious. No, it's not. I walk under the authority of Jesus. And he just holds me and loves me, and he doesn't care who it upsets. And I'm to the point to where I don't either. I want everybody's life to be set free like that. Father, I pray for those that are down here now. That if for a while they didn't even realize it, but they've been, the evil spirit has kept them down. And when I say evil spirit, guys, I'm not talking about some kind of hocus-pocus thing. I'm talking about accusation. That's all they got. Those accusations have come, whether it's from our own thought pattern, whether the enemy tries to throw in our thought pattern, whatever it might be. And God, we've been kind of bent over. But Lord, we now see your feet. But this time, your feet are a little bit different because there's some scars in them. This time we understand it from the fact that you completed your work. That was so cool that you healed her prior to you even going through what you did. But now that you've gone through what you did, help us to rest in that. Help us to see those feet, oh God. Father, lift our heads. And when I say lift our heads, I mean our heads and our hearts, our minds, our souls, our everything. God, I pray that you give us a hunger for the Word. I never got a hunger for the Word till I started understanding how much He loved me. And I started reading, I started reading the Word through the eyes of the cross. When you read the Word through the eyes of His love for you, it changes everything. It changes everything. Because I've always in the past read through the eyes of He's going to squash me like a bug when I do one thing wrong and send me to hell. That is so not who He is, but I didn't know that. Because I wasn't reading the Word. Then I had the experiential thing with Him. When you experience God, it's incredible. And then all of a sudden, when I'm reading the Word, it's coming alive to me. I never would have saw this story had I not saw it through the cross. It would have just been, oh, poor woman, He healed her. How cool is that? And move on so I can make sure I get my 3 chapters in today so I can read the rest of it in a year. Father, lift our heads up today. You are the lifter of our head. Ha ha. Your Word tells us that. Help us to stay in those realms up there. Father, I pray in these areas, and I just thank you so much right now for the peace that you're just enveloping folks with right now in that rest. I just pray that you allow us to rest in your death and resurrection and lift us.
I want to leave you with a picture, okay? So many people, because the enemy is an accuser, and he wants to take you to court, and he wants you to be proven guilty. And people always use the analogy that Jesus is a defense lawyer. There is no argument in the court of God. There's no arguing. Jesus doesn't have to come back and argue against the enemy and take up for you. Let me tell you what happens. There was already a meeting before he ever got there. With the accusation. You were already found not guilty. He just barks and talks. And unless you say, well, he's right, I'm guilty, and you just get up and leave the courthouse, the judgment throne of God, then he wins. But if you say, I'm going to rest in you, I'm going to rest in you, Jesus, let me tell you what happens. They do a DNA test for the guilty one, right? Because nobody can have your DNA. And the blood of Jesus is submitted, and your name comes back. And you're not guilty. Because DNA is do not accuse. Okay? So when you are in the courtroom of guilt, shame, and condemnation, it ain't your hair that's coming out. It's not your blood. It's the blood of Jesus. And your report comes back not guilty. And you're like, but I didn't do that. That wasn't me. Ding, ding, ding. It wasn't me. I want to be perfect every day. I want to set a good example for my kids and my grandkids and for you. But guess what? I can't be perfect. But he is, and my name's on the docket. Amen? Yes. Don't take the guilt and shame. It'll keep you repeating that pattern. Accept his love and forgiveness and tell the enemy, that's not my name on that report. Check the blood. Amen? Can you do that? I believe you. All right. I want you to go, turn around today and love somebody and remember what you were told to do last week. Introduce yourself, say your name, and say, my name is Gay, and I am loved by Jesus. Say your name, and I am loved by Jesus. Amen.